Why, hello there, priests. You have found the hardest book review podcast there is, where we digest life-changing books, we shit out greatness, and we change our lives one book at a time. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go.
And here we go. Welcome back. This is Troy Hollings with the Curiously Disagreeable Podcast. This is episode 2 of the Bansen Shukai, aka the fucking best ninja manual that humanity ever wrote. We introduced it. We kind of preface it as like, bitch, this is going to be crazy as hell. We got a guide, Anthony Cummins. That's a weird last name, sir. Half the internet is jealous of him because he's so handsome. He's got 100 wives, and we're in it. We're going to talk about The Correct Mind, The Guideline for Commanders, Disguise, Infiltration, The Art of Arson. Yeah, get ready. It's time. Into The Correct Mind. The basic principle of the shinobi is to have a correct mind in all respects. Even though the end result of this art is deception and conspiracy, you cannot control your mind if you do not carry out your tactics in a flexible and righteous manner. Confucius says that no man has ever governed himself while his own foundations are confused. What we call correct mind is about keeping benevolence, righteousness, loyalty, and fidelity in mind at all times. Without these factors, you cannot attain any great courageous achievement nor fulfill any tactics required for the circumstances at hand. And this is interesting and maybe the same, maybe different, but in sales, like if you truly need to just have the faith and belief that I'm just going to help these people, like I'm going to selflessly help everybody I come into contact with. And that is how you actually make the most sales. Because, you know, if somebody has cut their femoral artery, So long ago, I was the dirty kid on the wrestling team, and it wasn't my fault. I just was so overtrained. I didn't have an immune system. I showered more than anybody, but I always got skin diseases. I'd have ringworm. Dude, I had ringworm for like 3 years, and it was just like these itchy little mosquito bites you can pass from person to person. But one day, my armpit started to hurt, and then it started to really, really hurt. And then it started to turn totally red, like I had, like, was covered in poison ivy. Then it started to leak this orange goop. And then I was like, Mom, is this, I need to go to the doctor. So we scheduled a time to go to the doctor. They could get me in 4 days later. And it got worse and worse and worse and worse. And finally, when we got to the doctor, she's like, oh my God, that's, you have horrible impetigo in your armpit. And I'm like, yeah, can you help me? And in reality, sales, the doctor, them helping me is like, who loses? Nobody. You know, I was like, hey, I'll pay $300 to have my armpit fixed. And so in sales, like, you need to have this attitude of, if I truly am selling a good product, closing the deal is the morally right thing to do. And it is my moral obligation to close the deal. And I think what this is saying is that to truly be a good ninja, you need to meditate on righteousness, and you need to realize that assassinating that lord, that is your moral obligation. Principles for the correct mind. Those who are following this path should appear most gentle and kind-hearted and act right with justice and reason from the bottom of their heart. One writing says that a gentle look is the start of a strategy. An ancient saying states, be truthful at all times. And so, jumping into stories and whatever, but like, this is illustrating the correct mind that, like, we need to be truthful. We need to follow reason. We need not have an ego. Han Sin was the Marquis of Haiyin, and he liked to wear his sword in his early years. Some boys talked about him, and word spread that this boy always wore a long sword, but that in fact he was actually a coward. So it was decided to humiliate him in the marketplace, and he was challenged to fight or to crawl between the challenger's legs in humiliation. The sword-carrying boy looked up at the sky, and he crawled between the challenger's legs. People saw him and laughed hard at this. However, Han Sin had high aspirations, and he did not want to die because of some street hoodlum. Later, it turned out that he served Emperor Gao of the Chinese Han Dynasty and became the general of a force of tens of thousands. He was never defeated. And so, to have the correct mind, we need to have righteousness, we need to have reason, we need to be balanced in our ego. And he's telling that story because some guy who ended up being like General Mad Dog Mattis, like the most famous general that China ever saw, or some shit, like at least successful, when he was a boy, he would wear his sword, and then a bunch of people cornered him and were like, "Fight me or crawl through my legs and admit you're a coward." And he's like, "Okay," and he just crawled through their legs, and everyone's like, "Coward," and he's like, "Whatever, dude, I gotta go eat lunch." But the point is, in sales, there's a rule of, do you want to get your needs met? And so sometimes like people get into sales and they really struggle because like sometimes you're dealing with prospects that are dicks and idiots. And so like, do you take offense to their words and argue and prove them wrong? And do you get your needs met? Or do you just deal with the situation, subjugate your ego, and then get your needs met by having them sign the fucking contract? Do you want to be right or do you want to be rich? And I think that sounds like he's saying that's the correct mind. He who can hide disgrace or bear shame, that is a man. You should always strictly abstain from alcohol, lust, and greed. Jesus, dude. That's like the total opposite of that song, Pussy, Money, Weed. Never indulge in any of these. The three vices are your enemies, which deprive you of yourself and your better nature. Since ancient times, there have been countless people who've indulged in pussy money weed and ended up giving away a strategy or it having a huge influence on the outcome of things. That was like the Gucci Mane guide to greatness. He kind of gave up weed, at least. Tai Gong said, for those who are greedy, you should give money to distract them. For those who are lusty, give pretty women to delude them. This chapter is entitled Heart of an Iron Blade and discusses the reason why the word shinobi is used. First of all, the character for shinobi consists of blade and heart. Why was this name used for these skills? It is because the entire system of ninjutsu is aimed towards bravery and valor. Therefore, those who have set their mind on this path should single-mindedly try to achieve bravery. And so again, man, dude, these people need to learn about like an intro, a body, and a conclusion in their writing. But just going through and saying like, hey man, these are some traits that you need to be thinking about, okay? You need to be thinking about bravery. You need to be balanced. You need to not like need to get your fucking needs met. If you love just, drinking 40s every fucking day and then, bands to make her dance, like you might have to give that up to be a truly successful shinobi. Wise courage versus brute courage. You should not align yourself with anyone who has no fear of dying as a result of doing something stupid, like attacking a tiger unarmed or crossing a river without a boat. You should take sides with those who have reasonable fear when on the verge of an emergency and those who prefer secret plans as a measure for success. Those who learn this path should know this in detail. And so I think that's like a subtle dig against the, somewhat crazy samurai philosophy that was detailed in the Hagakure, that it's like, listen, dude, it's better to die a man than live. Because if you survive and someone says, hey, fight me or crawl through my legs because you're a coward, it's better just to fight him and die. Because if you crawl through the legs, everybody knows that you avoided dying a dog's death. And so I think he's basically saying like, hey, yeah, I know we like to hang out with Yamamoto Tsunetomo and we just do shots after shots after shots of fucking sake. But like, let's be real here. To be a successful ninja, we need to actually align ourselves with wise courage. Like, yeah, okay, it's gonna be scary, we're gonna be sneaking into fucking houses, but if somebody wakes up, don't just be like, oh, my honor demands I die. But like, how about we come back tomorrow? He says you'll get nervous before your ninja missions. In contrast to the above raging and hot courage, the courage of duty is what you are compelled to have to complete your functions and obligations. This kind of courage never gets weak, never. And since it's detached from motive, you can have control over your desire or greed and make decisions in response to the situation. It sounds like he's saying to detach. Hi, Eldraco. If you fight to the fullest with the knowledge that you will survive only if you are highly determined to die, through the courage required doing your duty, then you will be able to escape death and kill the enemy. According to a military proverb, softness overcomes hardness and weakness overcomes strength. And so this is one of the craziest ideas that we don't really have a corollary to in Western thought, I don't think. But the whole point of like the Hagakure was like, whip yourself up into a death frenzy and try to die, because like, you'll probably live, but if not, at least you're not a pussy. What this is saying is like, softening that a little bit, but basically saying, hey, when you start your ninja mission, you just accept and even like try to die. Meaning like, okay, cool. I'm going to go through this door right now and I'm going to kill that emperor. And you know, like probably going to die. Whatever. It's fucking fine. And that's so fucking crazy. But two corollaries, two thoughts in my head on this. One, how many times have you been playing a game in your head and you're like crushing it, and then you change your strategy and now you're like trying not to lose versus trying to win? So I think that's the first thing, is like, don't try not to die. Try to die, try to win, and then you'll just win. And then, you know, you probably fucking won't die. And then the second is, again, it's embarrassing and incorrect and maybe even offensive that I use sales examples, but it's happening. In sales, like, you need to have the thought of like, I'm financially independent and I don't need the money. Like, I don't care about this deal. Like, I actually don't even want to do this. I want to, like, I don't even fucking care. Like, convince me that I should care about this. Even though your job is to close the deal. But if you begin with this idea of like, this deal's already dead, then it turns out that like, you can come into it with the attitude of like, hey man, I'm not like fucking trying to convince you to do this. Like, we got a bunch of shit going on. Like, if you want to do this, I mean, like, yeah, you're bleeding out and you're going to die in like 4 hours, but like, I don't know you. There's overpopulation in the world, son. Like, I don't, whatever, it's fine. So I think that's like, that's my attempt to translate that crazy idea. Cause he's just like throwing, like, it's in the fucking Boy Scout. It's like your company employee's handbook. And like, one of the lines is just like, yeah, you know, just like try to die and you'll live. And it's like, what? To have courage of duty, there's a certain way you need to follow. Unless you fully want to know and follow with action, benevolence, righteousness, loyalty, and fidelity, you will not be able to have such courage. So he's saying, be the good guys. Benevolence is a principle for being gentle and affectionate. The mind is rich and warm, gentle, compassionate, and charitable to everything. However, if you kill a criminal with the intention of saving thousands of people by cutting down one man, it can be considered benevolence. Righteousness is the guiding principle for decisions, so it changes according to the situation, and what you perform is dependent upon the reason appropriate for the time and place. He's saying, hey, just if you do the right thing, and you know, like right thing according to I'm a fucking crazy ass ninja, then, you know, it doesn't exactly matter the situation. You're going to win. With a righteous mind, you should serve your Lord single-mindedly and die in battle for your Lord. Whatever. Loyalty is to devote your mind entirely to your Lord. For example, to serve your Lord, you should give yourself into the hands of your Lord, serve him wholeheartedly, and not leave anything for yourself. Loyalty could be considered at its best when you have no fear of death, or if you lose your family for your Lord, pay no attention to your feelings. Imagine, you know, you're going through a sales training course. You're like, okay, so, you know, you got a bonding and rapport, you know, upfront contract, pain, and they're like, oh yeah, and also, pay no attention to your feelings and devote yourself to our company and try to die. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's what he's saying. Fidelity means having only truth, but nothing false or wrong in the mind. Only have the way in your mind. The mind of man is easily affected by what the eye sees, worries about what the ears hear, is absorbed by what the nose smells, indulges in the five tastes the tongue tastes, and allows the body to give in to lust. It gives way to the selfish desires. And no matter if the action is on any path of righteousness, people will do anything to satisfy their self-interest at a particular time. This is exactly what the mind of man is. If you depend on the mind of man, it will turn out that you will ruin yourself, no matter how good it seems at first. In the end, all will be a total failure. An ancient poem speaks to this. If you do not throw away your concern about yourself, your mind will do harm to you in the end. And so, that's fucking crazy. But he basically saying, like, listen, dude, we're monkeys with human coats on. We want to fuck. We want to play around in poo. And we want to eat the delicious food. Yeah, we freak out. We get hangry, myself included, if we don't eat every 3 hours. But he's saying, to truly be a self-actualized ninja, you need to be separate from your body. Yeah, you're hungry. Well, guess what? I'm not a pussy. When you are consistent with heavenly principles, it means you have taken a pledge with the gods and the Buddha. Some bitch left the following poem. If your mind is singularly in accord with the way of principles, the gods and the Buddha will protect you even if you do not pray. So he's saying, listen, I'm not even going to beat around the bush here. You don't even have to pray, dog. You just have to be hard. You just got to be a fucking man. Okay? Be a kusemono, and the universe will take care of you. Those who are going to learn the path of Khan, the path of spying, should carefully observe their own mind whenever their mind is engaged in an activity and at every opportunity. Do not have the mind of man, have the mind of principles. And so, back in the day, Angie's List, selling advertising, young, back injury, shit was crazy, working with a bunch of fiends. End of the month, you know, we had monthly quotas, and at the end of the month, everybody would bring in donuts. And this is when I didn't know anything about diet, except for, like, I'm going to follow the fucking mind of principles. And I'll tell you, I've never felt deeper lust than the last day of the month, deep in a keto diet, clearly in ketosis, eating legitimately only unseasoned ground meat because I'm an idiot, and somebody puts donuts in front of my face. The mind of man desperately want to eat those donuts, but the mind of principle spit on the donuts and then ruined it for everybody. Remember that you should always try to make sure that the mind of principles is always your lord in all things, and to make the mind of man listen and obey what the mind of principles instructs. That way, the mind of selfish desires will diminish gradually, and the precious mind of principles will come out clearly as the moon comes out from behind the clouds. Therefore, when you penetrate yourself, into the way of benevolence, righteousness, loyalty, and fidelity, your mind should be nothing but patient and in the state of self-reliance. So I'm still obviously obsessed with Alex Hormozy, and he talks about how, like, success can be broken down to skills, beliefs, and character traits. And so sometimes you get to a certain level of success, but you don't have the character trait to get to the next level of success. And, like, he has such a growth mindset that he believes you can develop better character traits. When I first got into sales, my only goal was, like, I want to get fucking rich. And I thought that the way to get fucking rich was to, like, go get it. Like, go take it from other people. But then I realized, like, God damn it, dude, I'm such a fucking idiot. The way to get rich is to have the mind of principles, is to help other people, is to be cool at scale. And that is how I'm going to achieve my goal. But I had to develop that character trait before I really could get to the next level. And by practicing the way of principles, it gets easier and you see it in all things. When the mind is clear, like crystal, and if you can accord yourself to an opportunity with ease, then no matter what the situation is, there will be nothing that prevents you from getting into the enemy's castle and accomplishing a great achievement, no matter how firmly a place is guarded. So I've been doing a lot of travel for work lately, and I'm kind of like a little bitch about it, but it's fine. I'm like figuring it out. because, you know, it's apparently you're supposed to have a routine. You're supposed to still get up and work out. You're like, you should just, your life just ends up happening to be in Florida for a day, and then you go back and you're just like, oh, my life is back in Indiana. But I actually had, like, in a week, two different, I was in Atlanta, and then I was in DC. And so on the flight to Atlanta, I started watching Interstellar, and, like, I'm kind of an idiot sometimes, and so, like, I will watch a movie and forget it all. And so, like, it was great. Like, I'd already seen it, like, twice, but I'm like, ah, what's gonna happen? And I was getting so fucking into it, and then, like, the flight was done, and I'm like, god damn it, I want to see what happens. And so then on the flight to DC, I was like, oh yes, I think it's the same airline. I pulled it up, I just scrolled to the scene, and then I began, and so I finished Interstellar on the second flight. But there's a part of the movie where it's like the ship, you know, the bad guy, like, Matt Damon's a total asshole, and he pretends that he's going to help everybody. He tries to steal the ship, and then he, like, is an idiot, and he has a big ego, and then he, like, accidentally blows up the space station. And so, you know, there's, like, a docking procedure, but now the space station's spinning. And so, like, Matthew McConaughey's character is like, he's going to die. Like, but everybody thinks he's going to die, but he's like, match, spin. And so he goes and he just does this crazy pilot move, and he goes and he's, you know, matches the spin and he locks, and then they save the day. But, like, what all of that above was saying, that, you know, when the mind is clear and according to the way of principles, no matter the situation, there's nothing that prevents you from getting in the enemy's castle. It's like hitting that spin move. That's not a 5% chance. That's not like a 1% chance. That's a 100% chance that he can do it. And he'll just, and if he doesn't, he'll just, like, die and never know the difference. It's like the Hard Thing About Hard Things book. Like, don't listen to the probabilities. Just go and find the 1% chance and make it happen. And so, to illustrate the correct mind even more, there's a story about feuding lords. One's about to be killed, and he says, hey, my time is running out. When dawn comes, I'm to be killed without fail. You two have served me with sincere loyalty. Therefore, I would like to get you out of the castle tonight. Please shelter my 3-year-old child, and when he becomes a man, please ruin the guy who's going to kill me and revenge the humiliation that he gave me before my death. So, Lord, gonna die, got two samurai retainers, and he's like, listen, I want you guys to escape, I'm gonna die, but take my 3-year-old son, and please, raise him up, and then kill the guy who killed me. Our late Lord entrusted his 3-year-old son to us. Here is a question. Which of the following choices is more difficult? To beguile the enemy by death, or to survive to shelter and support the child? Death is a choice made when aiming for justice, while on the other hand, life is to live. Struggling with hard work pushes you to the edge of your wisdom. Therefore, I think to live is more difficult. And there's, like, some goddamn long story, but they escape, and, you know, he shelters the 3-year-old child, and then, like, he actually lets the enemy kill his own 3-year-old child to save his lord's 3-year-old child, and then he, like, fucking raises the kid, and they go and they kill the bad guy 20 years later. But the summary is that which one of those choices was harder? Which one of those choices was the way of principles? And that was, it's going to actually suck fucking worse to ruin your life and to take care of this dude's 3-year-old son and have a 20-year war of vengeance, as opposed to just, like, you know, dying with your lord. So these two people can be called true and brave warriors of justice. They who act on principles. That is what a ninja should be. Because with only simple brute courage, which acts and is dependent on the mind of man, how could it be possible to attain such an achievement as the above episode, aka killing your own fucking kid and then waging a 20-year war of vengeance and ultimately killing the guy who killed your lord 20 years ago? Hey, buddy, you doing okay? What the fuck? Those who continue on my path should look up to Cheng Ying and Chu Ju as their mentors. So that is the level that he's saying. He's like, hey, you know, I know all these thoughts that you've had. Well, those are incorrect. I'm going to teach you the correct mind. So that was a beginning of the correct mind. We're just, you know, because again, organization here is a bitch. The Correct Mind 2. This chapter is titled, Of Life and Death. It is said that for samurai warriors, the most important concept is the interrelated concept of life and death. This is because if warriors do not abandon the life or death issue, they will stick only to visible phenomena and thus cannot achieve utmost bravery. If you talk about the issue, but do not deeply concentrate on it in your mind or act in accordance with the principle, then you do not know any more than a parrot knows. In the issue of detaching yourself from life or death, you should realize the root of your mind. If you want to know the root of your mind, you should first know the root of everything in the universe and the origin of your mind and body. To know what it is, you should be aware of the primary principle of the universe. The primary principle has no shape and is emptiness, so it cannot be seen or touched with your hand. But since the dawn of time and until doomsday, without flourishing or diminishing, it fills everything in the universe between heaven and earth. So again, you know, like, that shit's crazy as hell. But what I think that means is I honestly think that once you see the way in one thing, you see the way in all things. Like, once you learn how to learn in martial arts or college football or, you know, sales, you now know the way. Because you can say, hey, remember when I didn't know how to throw a kick and I broke it down in the component parts and I practiced each of the component parts and then I did it slow and then I did it a little bit faster and then I did it under real stakes and then I mastered it. I can do the same thing in sales. And he's saying that way imbues everything in the world. And so all we have to do is just find the correct way. And in order to find the correct way, you have to have the damn correct mind. So here we are, common mortals. Oh God, we don't want to be those who are confused and fall, do not know how this principle works. Therefore, if you keep moving forward without fear of death, you will likely not die. While if you like to live too much and hate to die and run away through fear, you will likely die. Thus, to advance or retreat does not matter, as you will live by heaven's discretion. So why would you not take the chance to live by advancing, then trying to survive by running away? And, you know, he's clarifying that, like, this isn't fatalism. It's just playing a win. Okay, so he's saying, like, it's commonly known in normal times, dude, yes, take care, be principled, get a good knife, get a good enough sleep, you know, be healthy, and you'll live a long life. However, in emergency situations, nothing is better than giving up sheltering yourself and to think that you are sure to die. Once you determine your mind that you are sure to die, it might actually allow you to survive. But if you guard yourself with a mind of preservation, it will turn out that you will die anyways. And so, similar-ish lesson I learned in deer hunting is, like, you have to be default aggressive, stolen directly from Jocko, but, like, the concept is, like, I was waiting so long to try to have this, like, absolutely perfect shot that, like, it never came, and I ended up not even getting a deer 1 year. And then I realized that, like, hey, you have to just, like, you have to accept that you're gonna mess up. You have to accept that you already wounded the deer, and, like, it's on your neighbor's property and died on your neighbor's fucking porch. Like, that's, you got to accept that outcome as possible to then allow yourself to fucking fire off a shot. And you've actually practiced enough that when you just assume that you're going to mess it up and you're okay with it, even though you don't want it to happen, you are now able to try your best, as opposed to, like, really trying to control the outcome. You end up either not taking the shot or, like, overthinking it. Penetrate this principle thoroughly so you will always be true to yourself. If you are committed to the principles completely, you will never fail to infiltrate when on your ninja mission. So, like, I'm, like, kind of nodding along, like, okay, this is interesting, like, that's a weird perspective, but, like, I can understand it. And then to illustrate one bit further, and this is, like, in full, like, honest intent giving this example, once upon a time, there was a thief who had a son. The son thought he could never be a good thief and wanted his father to teach him. So the dad and his son, they break into a house and they steal from a chest. And the dad tells the son, to get in the chest. And then the dad runs away yelling, "Stop! Thief! Thief!" So, you know, you're breaking into somebody's house with your fucking dad because your dad's a thief. And then your dad's like, hey, get in that chest real quick. And you're like, okay. He gets in the chest. He locks the chest, locks the son in the chest. Then he goes and yells, "Thief! Thief!" And so then he runs away. So the son is now sad. He is locked in the chest in somebody's house that his dad just robbed. But he pretended to be a rat. So he's scratching in the chest. And the person's like, "That's weird." Opens up the chest. He jumps out. He runs away. He runs by a well. He drops a rock in the well. They think he went down the well. And then the son runs back to his dad. And he's like, "Hey, Dad, what the fuck?" And he tells his dad how he got out. And his father listens, nods, and says, "My son, you have become a true thief." As you can see, the father threw away his son, and thus the son realized his father's intention and was prepared to give himself up to fate and put his life on the line by being caught or making a good escape. Because he cast aside his worry about himself, he succeeded in escaping. The lesson here is that is a fucking crazy story. Okay, no. The lesson here is that your indecisive mind, which comes from reasoning and thinking, gives you doubt. By throwing this away and having the mind of principles, you will become your true self so that you can see reality very clearly, and good ideas will come according to the occasion. Now, there's a Q&A portion. I just included one question. We heard what you said, but sometimes people lose their nerve. How can we avoid it? And Mr. Y answers, he says, "That is the rust of your mind, and you should polish yourself day after day. You should thoroughly understand the principles of the way." So basically, that's ending the correct mind, which, dude, that's insane. He's saying you need to have the mind of principles. You need to follow the way. You need to accept failure at the beginning as given. And if you're doing high stakes shit, failure is death. And then you need to mentally rehearse over and over and over how you would act so that when you get in the situation, you're just like, hey, as Colonel Cooper once said, "I've been here before. I knew this might happen. Front sight, press. Front sight, press." Well, that was absolutely fucking crazy. But that ends the correct mind section. And so we are now going to go into a guideline for commanders. And so these commanders are, you know, imagine you're leading a military unit. You've got regular soldiers, but then you have access to ninja. And you're at war with other people who have the same thing. And so, like, you know, if the enemy has these hyper-intelligent androids who are accepting death and trying to die and sneaking and they're going to set you on fire, like, that necessitates, you got to kind of think about it. And so he's saying, in the 400 years that ninjas have been rampaging around the world, these are some lessons we've learned if you're a commander of how to use ninjas and how to avoid getting used by ninjas. And I'm going to continue the trend of, you know, this is like a 20-volume fucking book, which is crazy. But I'm going to read this. I'm going to pull out interesting tidbits. I'm just going to skip whole sections. We're just trying to find them life lessons that we can put into our feeble little minds. Sun Tzu says, "It is the enlightened lord and the capable general who are able to use the most intelligent ones from their ranks to be deployed as spies so they can achieve the greatest and most complete victory in war." Thus, it is apparent that it is essential for a lord or a general to employ ninja. Hence, the chapter is titled, A Guideline for Commanders. And so, they love to have, like, pretend organization. Like, these are the 10 things you should care about. And then they're like, but these are the 3 things you should care about. And these are the 6 things you should care about. So, title known as the 10 articles, then I'm not reading all 10. When a lord is going to attack the enemy's domain, he should send an excellent ninja into the enemy's land to get information, or send him into the castle to aid his plans beforehand. It is dangerous if you give orders based on guesswork alone. A general should consider this in earnest. If a ninja can get into the enemy's domain, they can find out much about an enemy general. Is he principled or unprincipled, and to what extent? Is he wise or ignorant? How well trained are his troops? When your army is under siege, if you have ninja communicate secretly with the outside, the benefits will be tremendous. Suppose you are holed up and besieged so much that you can't get out of the castle unless you were a bird on the wing. Even in such a tight case, shinobi can get out secretly and ask the neighboring domain for assistance. It is even possible to kill the enemy general with shinobi no jutsu, fucking the martial art known as being a goddamn ninja. And if this is done, you will benefit immensely. Without scheming and being unorthodox, you have no means to destroy evildoers. Without plotting, there's no means to be successful. Remember, pushing a gate with a force of 1,000 people is not as good as to remove the bars of the gate. Sun Tzu says, such is the intricacy and subtlety of espionage. There is no place where espionage cannot be used. So saying, hey, bitch, yeah. Don't just think that you're like, oh, I'm gonna beat them in conventional warfare. I'm gonna go out and we're gonna push on their gate and we're gonna take them. It's like, if you could send Jordy in and Jordy could poison all of their water, you know, maybe like send Jordy in, he shits in the well, and then he burns the castle down. Like, you're doing really good. And you didn't even have to risk anybody but one ninja. A guideline for commanders too, because they're bad at organization. 3 points about the prohibitions within shinobi no jutsu. The name and identity of the shinobi should be strictly hidden. The general, when employing ninja, should not reveal who his ninja are. You must be aware of this because it is the way of laying out plans during normal times before the shinobi are actually required at the outbreak of war. Kill anyone who breaks the secret, obviously. So what that's saying is, like, part of this deception is, like, even though you employ ninja, you need to keep their identity secret. They need to be actually like spies, like secret agents. Like, oh yeah, that's just John who works at the post office. Like, why is John 6% body fat and runs Ironmans and competes in pistol competitions, but you only learn that after you, like, try to stalk John online and used, you know, the Wayback Machine to go and find records from 15 years ago? It's because if you really need a ninja, it'd be way better for everybody to think it's John at the post office. Then he turns, he does a sub-second draw, and then he hits the El Presidente drill. Pop, 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 pop. Some things to consider in selecting qualified ninja. He must be gentle at normal times and have a keen sense of righteousness, but little need for desires, and he must be fond of learning the principle of things. He's saying he should be a well-balanced dude. He should be cool. You know, should be like a dude you like to, you know, it's actually, you know, people call it the airport beer test in the investing world. Like, if you're going to invest in a company, a lot of times, you know, it's like, do you bet on the jockey or do you bet on the horse? You know, do you bet on the founder or do you bet on the company? And many people are of the belief that you actually bet on the jockey, you bet on the founder. And one of the best bets, which is very counterintuitive because it's not quantitative at all, is like, would you be cool? Like, if you were at the airport together and waiting on a flight, would you want to have a beer with that person, or would you want to, you know, not talk to him and get engrossed in work? And so he's saying, interestingly, some of the best ninja are just like gentle, cool, righteous, normal dudes. He must be fluent in speech, deep in thought, quick in communicating with people, and difficult to deceive. So he must be clever. He should have great interest in military affairs and the arts of war. His temperament should be that of a hero. He must study hard and learn deeply the art of shinobi no jutsu. He must be competent in strategy, talented in writing, skilled in all areas of ninjutsu to the highest degree, and aspire to perform merits in battle. As well as military affairs, he must also be accomplished in various arts. He must be poetic, musical, know how to dance, have the ability to impersonate others, and be proficient in all other activities he could use to make up for any situation without blundering. So think of the skill profile of that. So it's like he needs to actually be good enough at sales that he could go work a sales job as a cover. He needs to be fit. He needs to be good with firearms. He needs to be, you know, such a good public speaker that he can get out of anything. Maybe he's a theater person. Like, think of that skill profile of a ninja back in the day. Crazy. And the last section of this Guidelines for Commanders is aptly named Guidelines for Commanders 3. Military schemes to defend against shinobi. Only shinobi, only function to block those ninja who have not reached the true principles of the shinobi arts. So listen, it's like, hey, if you get a nice door and you get a dog and you get a bunch of shit, you're going to keep out the average intruder. But a true shinobi, bitch, they're going to tickle you awake. Seen from the viewpoint of those ninja who have mastered the true principles of shinobi, no matter how wide or deep the moat is, they could cross it easily as if they were on flat land. So how do you avoid employing enemy ninja? Great question. Examine closely those who newly come into your service. They should be scrutinized so closely that even their past, their families, their homeland should be understood. Also, their wives or children, if any, should be made to move into your territory. If not, make him wed a wife that you offer and have children so that you can take them hostage as a backup. And speaking of, he's about to lay out an opinion that is not allowed anymore. Not only prostitutes, but also maidservants or any kind of woman should not be allowed into your position. I may say that warriors are yo while women are yin. Therefore, if some women are within your force, the chi will be degraded and you will lose. Zhu Liang, when encamped, went up a high mountain every morning to look down on his forces to see if the chi was messed up. He once found his forces covered and distorted. Feeling suspicious, he investigated the troops. As a result, he found a bunch of women, and he executed 300 of them. The spirits of the military, they were good again. So he's saying, hey, and this is where, like, there's some really probably decent advice here, and then he goes, listen up, the chi of the army, yeah, if there's girls in it, the chi gets fucked up. So, you know, like, it's like, hey, round up all the female soldiers. We're going to kill them because, the chi of my military unit, it's kind of messed up. Dude, you can't do that anymore. That's not cool. Continuing on, even those castles of strong fortifications should be guarded strictly every night with the utmost attention. The tightest security should be carried out on a stormy night when the wind and rain are strong. A ninja poem says, in heavy rainfall, when the rain is at its most, you should take advantage of it for your shinobi activities and night attacks. And so I am still a somewhat devotee of the Jocko podcast, but I'm not like as much of a regular listener. I feel like I kind of downloaded his whole viewpoint into my brain. I get it. But he would say that, oh, this is good operating weather. So like when the weather's really bad, that's actually like the best time to do your ninja shit. And actually like with deer hunting, you know, like when the weather is bad, the deer actually are like a little bit, you know, it's less predictable. And sometimes they're like, oh, cool, I'm just going to like walk around now. And so when the weather's bad, especially, is when you need to be the most vigilant. Discipline. Whether in the camp or castle, guard houses placed beside the outer wall should be guarded strictly day and night. Recessed corners of the stone walls, the inside of the water pipes of a floodgate, the trash area, woods or bushes in the castle, and any other suitable hiding places should be inspected with special care. Those are where shinobi are likely to get in. Even if it is a well-fortified place, or even if you are not in confrontation with the enemy, you should not lower your guard. On stormy nights of rain and wind, night guards or patrols should be even stricter. There's just a fact in deer hunting that the second you relax your focus, that's when a big deer will come. Or like, you'll, as soon as you touch your dick to piss, boom, biggest deer you've ever seen, looking at you, You got your bow on the ground. You're peeing. Go. You should not hire more people into your army without careful consideration. Rather than leading a large number under your command, with the enemy mixed up as your allies, it would be better to lead a small number of true allies. Even if they are a small number, there should be a way to win over a massive enemy force. You should not waste gold and silver to pay for useless people. If strict discipline is maintained in conducting everything without negligence, ninja of the middle or lower level will not be able to get in successfully. However, a man cannot be alert all the time, and also any army will have a gap in discipline, no matter how strictly it is conducted. Therefore, a superior shinobi will be able to take advantage of even the smallest opportunity when you are off guard and use the narrowest gap where you fail to maintain discipline. Therefore, he can infiltrate anywhere and, after infiltrating, achieve his goal without fail. So that's if you're a commander, just listen to that, man. So, but he's saying, like, hey, you need to use ninja every day, every bit, every time you can, you should. And you should look out for them. And you should have guards, and you should be aware and, you know, think, how would I infiltrate my camp? But you need to, at its basest core, realize that if one of the enemy ninja is following the heavenly way, the way of principles, there's nothing you can do. And so you need to just accept death, I believe. Well, holy shit. And with this, the second episode in this series winds down. We still have a bit more. We're going to talk about disguise. We're going to talk about hidden infiltration. There's some like ninja tools. There's some secrets of military principles. We're moving through. We're making progress. But if you want that, if you want everything, you're going to have to tune in for the next episode of the Curiously Disagreeable podcast. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And that, my pretties, is another episode down of the Curiously Disagreeable podcast. Check us out at CuriouslyDisagreeable.com, the Troy Hollings on Instagram, or wherever the fuck you get your podcasts. The end.